Let us hear God's word. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon all the fish of the sea. They are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants, I now give you everything. But you must not eat meat that has its lifeblood still in it. And for your lifeblood, I will surely demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal, and from each man too, I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God created man. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number, and multiply on the earth and increase upon it." May the Lord our God put his blessing upon the reading of his holy word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious and heavenly Father, we come to you now. You have already fed us with the bread of the earth, but now, heavenly Father, we hunger and crave for the bread of heaven. We ask for your word, that your Holy Spirit would apply your word to us, and that we may glorify Christ. For it's in his name we pray. Amen. One of the basic principles of hermeneutics is, how do we interpret the Bible? Well, one of the basic ways to do that is you have to identify who wrote this passage, who was he writing to, and three, what was he wanting his audience to learn? Who wrote it? Who was he writing to? What did he want the people to understand? Well, Moses is the writer of not just this passage, but the first five books of the Bible. It's called the Pentateuch. Moses wrote it, and he wrote it for the Israelites. And he wanted the Israelites to learn and to know the things that God plans for them. If you remember, the Israelites had been in captivity in Egypt for hundreds of years. And now they are moving out of slavery, moving out of Egypt, headed on their way to Canaan, the land of milk and honey. And so Moses begins to write about them escaping the worldview of the Egyptians. That's the first three chapters of Genesis. Then he begins to write about life y'all give me a moment, it's been a bad morning. Life as an Israelite. And as they leave Egypt and they head to Canaan, they are faced with different obstacles from different nations who would oppose them. But one of the things that all the nations surrounding Israel have in common is this. They believe that by the shedding of blood, by sacrifice, sometimes sacrifice of an animal, sometimes sacrifice of humans, they think that by sacrifice and the shedding of blood, that they will then be able to convince these foreign gods and manipulate these foreign gods into doing what they want them to do. So it's not by accident that what Moses writes about Noah are two things. One, that God is going to continue the earth as it is. Seed time and harvest, winter, spring, summer, fall will continue because God has got it. As the old hymn used to say, he's got the whole world in his hands. And then the other thing is that just as God created man, male and female, in his image, he is still creating mankind in his image. So if anybody attacks that image, it's like attacking God himself. And so Moses wants to make this completely clear, that these demigods, these false gods, do not control the earth. But in our passage today, we see they do not control the earth by human sacrifice. Instead, it is God who controls the universe. Verses 5 through 7 reads, "And for your lifeblood I will demand an accounting. I will demand an accounting from every animal, and from each man too I will demand an accounting for the life of his fellow man. Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed. For in the image of God has God made man. As for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth and increase upon it." What we see here is that God is affirming life. As Job says, "The Lord gives, the Lord's taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." He gives it, he takes it away, God sustains it. Therefore, all those, whether it be man or beast, who take a life unjustly, they're going to be held accountable to God. In the Old Testament, blood is equated with life. And in the Old Testament, the sacrificial system would be that someone would bring an animal and have it slaughtered. And the shedding of that blood was symbolic of the fact that without the remission of sins, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. And so Israel was looking forward to something, couldn't quite put their finger on it because it hadn't been completely revealed. But they were looking forward that somehow our sins are going to be forgiven through the shedding of blood. This would signify that what the guilty individual deserved was happening to the sacrifice, the goat or the sheep, whatever it may be. The animal was a substitute. The animal's life for our life. His blood for our blood. His blood gives new life. Thus, blood, the shedding of blood, was looked upon as being very precious by Israel. Therefore, if a man's life was purposely taken, then his life was required. Listen to what Moses writes in Exodus 21. "Anyone who strikes a man and kills him shall surely be put to death. If a man schemes and kills another man deliberately, take him away from my altar and put him to death." Those who would intentionally murder someone else, they themselves would be killed. An eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. And it would be God, you see, who would take matters into his own hands and to see that justice was done. Sometimes God does this through the state. We find in Romans 13 that God has given the government, the state, authority to take a life from those who took someone else's life. But political law is not the only thing that is intended here. What God is communicating is that He Himself is so pro-life and so opposed to murder that God Himself, outside of the state, that God Himself will send executioners who will render an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Now, as you read the scriptures, you find that this happened with the plagues. The plagues were sent upon Egypt, and many people died. It's because they had been killing the Israelites. We see this in Noah and the storms. The people were so wicked that murder was strife. God put an end to that. He sent the flood. Sometimes there were famines in the days of Jacob and his sons. Famine was very severe. Nothing to eat. And if you remember the story, they send some of the brothers to Egypt to get grain. And there they find who? They find their brother Joseph. But still, people were killed. And those people who murdered, their lives were taken. This happened with Jerusalem because they had killed the prophets. God sent the Roman army to occupy the land. Do you remember years and years and years ago? And I just remember it happening. I don't remember when it happened. But there was in the news, there was this story about an abortion doctor who had performed so many abortions and had killed so many children. And somebody took it upon themselves to execute him. God does that sometimes. Now, the person that executed this abortion doctor himself, I believe, was executed by the state. But still, it shows us that God will punish those who do not see man made in the image of God, and that God will punish those who do not take a sanctity of life position. Psalm 55 says, "But you, O God, will bring down the wicked into the pit of corruption. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men will not live out half their days." This is exactly what happened to the abortion doctor. But why is this? Why is murder so hated by God? Well, the reason is annexed here in this passage. Mankind, male and female, are made in the image of God. They're not just creatures, but the image of God is stamped upon us. Because of our sins, we are unworthy of God's care. But since we are made in the image of God, God deems Himself violated. When we are attacked, when mankind is murdered, when the ambassadors of the United States, when they are attacked by the country that they are living in, everybody takes that as an attack upon the United States. Not just the ambassador, but it is an attack upon the United States. So it is with those who do not hold to a sanctity of life and will not see that mankind, if they take the life of man, they too will be punished. This is why we need capital punishment. Not because it deters the crime of murder, but because we are made in the image of God. As God says to Noah, "As for you, be fruitful and increase in number, multiply on the earth and increase upon it." That is directly against murder. Murder, you're not increasing, you're decreasing. God says to Noah, and Moses writes to us about it, saying, increase in number. See, the story of Noah was first given to these people, the Israelites, for their instruction. They were the original readers of Scripture. It was designed to speak to their situation. And their situation was that they were a weak nation, weak militarily, weak financially. And the nations around them were much stronger. And as I said before, the nations around them had taught that the changing of the seasons was brought about through human sacrifice. But God addresses that. And He addresses that for your good, because He wants you to live without fear. Without fear of what's going to happen in the earth. Bad things are going to happen, yeah. But the earth is not going to be destroyed. It will not be destroyed. It's not going to be destroyed by earthquakes. There'll be some. It's not going to be destroyed by hurricanes. There'll be some. It's not going to be destroyed by global warming. It doesn't exist. But you see, Israel was going through those nations. Those nations surrounded them. And all those nations taught that. By human sacrifice, we can control harvest time, heat, and cold. And so we kill whoever we want to kill in order to get blessing. Excuse me, how is that different from abortion? People murder children with the hope of receiving some kind of blessing from it, do they not? The blessing may be more money from the government, or the blessing may be that I don't have to take responsibility for this child. The reason may be, it frees me up to continue in living in an immoral state. But how is it different from the surrounding nations? It's not. They killed people. They shed innocent blood in the hopes of manipulating the gods who controlled the earth. But we know who controls the earth. And He will protect you. He will provide for you. And He tells us to seek the sanctity of life, because He is pro-life. He is pro-life. His word is increase in number. Not decrease, but increase in number. The earth is designed to support life. Therefore, let us live holy lives, that our hope of a new earth, an earth without sin, an earth without sorrow, an earth where we live with Christ, will be our ultimate reality. Let's pray. Our gracious and heavenly Father, we thank You for Your mercies to us. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. O heavenly Father, we pray, Heavenly Father, that You would rid the land of wicked people. We pray that You would rid the land of people who would seek the lives and seek murder of even the smallest children. Oh, Heavenly Father, so work in our hearts and minds that we would hold to the sanctity of life. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's close our worship today as we stand and sing a hymn of response, hymn number 264. 264, and let's stand as we sing.